What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, in the US, something profound could happen to Google. The Justice Department is looking at what it calls Google's illegal monopoly and may break the company up. Adrian Weckler is tech editor of the Irish Independent. Afternoon, Adrian.
Afternoon, Sean.
This sounds more like something the EU would do rather than the Americans would do.
I know. Who'd have thought that the US would be the ones meddling in those innovative US companies, that, which is the charge that we're always accused of in the EU and here in Dublin with the Data Protection Commission. All of my American friends keep saying, you communists over there, you keep messing with our innovative companies. And who'd have thunk that actually it's the US Department of Justice, which is now putting on the table the option of breaking Google up because a US court found what we all know, that Google has a monopoly when it comes to search. So there's no, anyone who's listening to this show right now, they may say that they use DuckDuckGo or Brave, or some people may say they use Bing. They don't. They use Google. We all use Google. It has well over 90% market share in the EU and the US. And in America, what they've decided was that because it has such a monopoly on search, that nobody else can get a look in, and it makes so much money from that search that it can pay everybody else to keep Google there. So if you buy a new iPhone, for example, the search bar there is Google, and that's because Google pays Apple $20 billion a year to put the search bar there.
Wow.
So because it's making so much money from the ads, from the search bar, from the results and the ads that come up beside the results, it makes all that money. It then recycles that back into paying everybody to put Google front and center. So the Americans, bizarrely, instead of Europeans, are saying, this isn't right. You may have to, if you don't, you know, cop on and modify your practices, we're going to make you either get rid of Android or Chrome, which is the most used web browser, or Google Play. Like, people forget Google owns everything.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it really owns everything. People talk about Apple, they talk about Meta. No. Google owns everything. Chrome, most used browser. Play, the most used app store. Android, the most used operating system. YouTube, by far, the most used online video service. Search, by far, the most honest. They have the whole thing wrapped up.
Yeah, that's... Is there any sense of what brought this on? That did they annoy somebody in the Department of Justice or?
Well, to be fair to the American Department of Justice, they have a fairly noble record over the last 20 or 30 years, actually more, even 40 years, of going after monopolies. You may remember, maybe a bit before your time, but in the early 80s, they basically broke AT&T up, which is the big telephone company over there. And that spawned what they called the baby bells. So you still hear reference in the States to telephone companies, the baby bell companies. That came from the breakup of AT&T. I mean, if you want to go all the way back, you're going back to Standard Oil and the Rockefellers and, you know, the beginning of the 20th century. But they have had a fair tilt at companies, for example, like Microsoft. Like 15 years ago, they essentially came close to breaking Microsoft up, but Microsoft did a deal with them. They have separate antitrust cases out against Amazon at the moment as well. So it's not just us who pride ourselves on being regulators. The Americans do go after them. It's just when we go after them, we tend to fine them and we'll make them do stuff. When the Americans go after them, sometimes they go for the nuclear option, which is break the company up.
Yeah. But given the size of Google, given the amount of money they have, given that we're in an election year and Elon Musk is doing his very best to tilt it in favor of Donald Trump.
Yeah. Do you know, it's a funny one, actually, because... Yeah. The election one is a very funny one because Google is actually the bête noire of the MAGA heads. At the moment, they all love X and they're okay with Meta. But they think if you listen to Trump or you look at what he said, he's regularly threatened Google over the last couple of months because he believes that Google throws up pro-Kamala results all the time and anti-Trump results. So I don't know if he would be that.
Oh, right.
I don't know if Google can rely on you know, a Trump presidency, if Trump wins anyway, to come to their aid. So they're kind of caught in a sort of a no man's land politically. Nobody seems to love Google. Poor Google.
Oh, gosh. So, I mean, and they haven't decided on anything yet.
No.
Are the various parts of equal size, if you know what I mean? Or will they go, let's divide up into four bits or just take this particular chunk of it?
Yeah, what they're saying is that if, you know, unreconstructed, what the government is saying, and it will lay out its specific plan or proposals in next month, in November. But what so far it's suggesting is that at a minimum, they would stop Google from being able to promote their search engine, Google Search, in, for example, Android or Google Chrome. So that when you buy a new Samsung phone or a Google Pixel phone or whatever, a non-iPhone or even an iPhone, that you wouldn't automatically get, Google wouldn't be allowed to place their Google search engine there front and center. Now, I know one of your listeners, one of them, is going to call in and say, I just bought a new Android phone and when you set it up, it offers you 12 or 13 different browsers, DuckDuckGo, Brave and all the rest. Yeah, look, that's nonsense. I mean, it's there all right, but nobody uses any of those other services. Everybody chooses Google because that is the search engine which everybody else uses, and that's just the fact of it. So what could happen is that Google will be barred from being able to promote the search engine, and if it doesn't do that, then the US government might say, right, well, from now on, you have to split Android into a different company. You have to split Chrome into a different company. Now, that's a nuclear option. I'm not sure if they'll go that far, but that's what's on the table.
Yeah. Now, Google's reaction to this is not an inch, not a mile, because I kind of gather that maybe there's a little bit of wiggle room in their answer there.
Yeah, so they're starting with the softly, and they're starting with the play, the PR playbook that they always use, all these big companies. It's a very softly blog post, which talks about the danger and the harm to consumers and businesses and moms and pops and how we all get so much value from, you know, from Google service, and this will make things more expensive and it will actually hurt competition. But that's just an opening gambit. I mean, there's no question that they have a monopoly, and they know it, and they know that everybody else knows it. So they're starting off from the position of, well, don't think about our monopoly. Think about the small businesses, you know, that your brother or your uncle or your aunt works in that benefits at the moment from Google Search and Google Search Ads, and how easy it is to place an ad. That's their opening tack. But basically, they're saying that it's an overreach from the US government. They'll fight it. Even if the US government does actually go ahead and go for a nuclear option, you know, it'll probably take years and tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. And if they do, will that have necessarily an effect on us?
It's an interesting one. I mean, it could do. So it's not a given that it would, in the sense that there's now a precedent for the EU and the US to actually have different computer systems and online systems. If you buy an iPhone 16 at the moment, for example, if you buy one in Belfast and one in Dublin, the one in Belfast has access to Apple's AI service called Apple Intelligence. The one in Dublin does not, or the rest of the EU does not. And that's because the EU won't allow Apple to roll out its AI service. Or sorry, Apple thinks that the EU wouldn't allow it, so it's not launching it in the EU. It'll only launching it in the US and the UK. And that's a big part of what the iPhone 16 is. So there is a precedent for companies saying, no, we're going to actually run slightly different services in different parts of the world. So that could happen. But then on the other hand, you would think that might be too much hassle and they just go with it. Obviously, Google employs like 8,000 people here in Dublin.
Yeah.
And a lot of them would work in advertising and search and so it could possibly have an effect. Yeah.
Adrian, thanks a million as ever. Adrian Weckler there, tech editor of the Irish Independent.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.